Hey, ladies and gentlemen, welcome back to the winning weekend episode of a ear-to-ear podcast with C-Ray and Lanny Moe. I am C-Ray. Our fellow on the other side here is Lanny Moe. Lanny, how you doing this evening, buddy?
What's up, buddy? How you doing? Great weekend.
Great weekend. Good weekend. Yeah. Another day in paradise on the mountain. Love it. Well, the only thing we can start off with is WVU did get the win after about an hour and a half rain delay against Kansas. We come out on top 32-28. It looked better after the delay than it did before. That is for sure. Garrett Green ends up going 15 to 30 for 295 yards, pair of touchdowns, but also a pair of picks to go with him. But he did go for 87 yards and was our leading rusher team-wise, which is a little disappointing against their defense. But 87 yards, 17 carries on the ground. Jalen Daniels not looking good this year. Personally, I think it's because of their offensive coordinator, but he goes 15 to 25 for 184 yards and a pick. Only had 11 yards on the ground, which was really surprising. But this was a win that we needed in the worst possible way, and we managed to get it. And there's a lot to talk about with it, with our different thoughts and what we thought. So, Lanny, get us started, man. What'd you think from yesterday? What'd you like? What'd you not?
This was a game we had to have. This is one of those games that whenever you lay out your season and you're looking at the schedule and – this is a toss-up. They should win this one out. However you feel, this was one at home you had to have. Not because it's going into a bye week. It's a lot easier going in that bye week at 2-2 than it was 3-1. And then it starts the Big 12. The gauntlet of the Big 12, and it's a game you had to have. I mean, that's about the easiest way we can put it with that. Jalen Daniels did not look good from their standpoint. I had Kansas fans sat right beside me, and they were like, I said, what's going on with him? And they're like, oh, he's colorblind, we think. And that's pretty much – he throws it to the other team. You know, and that's what they – you know, and that's exactly what they told me. They're like, he likes to throw it to the other players on the other team for some reason this year.
And well, Green threw to them more than he threw to us. So there's that.
Yeah. On the one pick that Green threw, he had Jalen Ray streaking right in front of me, wide open.
Yeah. But
Green got – lit up. I mean, a second before he threw it out of his hand, I mean, he got absolutely, he took a shot. And, but I got to hit you with something real quick.
Oh, okay. What you got?
So, before you said goodbye to me, I holler at you. What did I tell you before you left tailgate? My prediction on the game.
I thought you said 35-28.
No score. I said, I think our defense steps up. They get it. Kansas is going to have the ball with a chance to win, and our defense shuts it down.
Oh, yeah. Okay, I remember that now.
I said, we win, but I think our defense kind of redeems itself a little bit.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah.
And we're still not good. The defense still isn't good. And we couldn't stop a nosebleed. I mean – no. Kansas ran the ball down our throat, and then they'd stop, and they try to, you know, they start calling pass. I'm like, you're going to let us back in this game. Just keep running the ball is all they had to do.
Right.
Because we couldn't stop it. And then they got away. I mean, we couldn't stop a reverse. I mean, I think they hit us with two reverses, one for a 35-yard touchdown run and the other one for like 26 yards, yep. You know, on the end of it. And I'm sitting there going, heck, what's that old song? Reverse. You know?
What was that? It was like the
cha-cha, y'all.
Yeah, the cha-cha. That's it. Reverse.
But I'm sitting there watching it. I'm like, man, our defense is fast. I mean, they are a fast defense. But it's like see ball, go ball. And that's exactly what they were doing. And, you know, because we go to the left and here they come back around to the right. And then we go and we hit them with something that I didn't even expect, you know, for Jalen Ray to throw the touchdown.
Oh, the two-point.
Yeah, you know, it's almost like they didn't use Taylor all day long, and then he catches a touchdown on a very well-designed play.
Yeah.
And then they hit him. And then we're going for two. And then about anyway.
Did you see the ball that he threw? And I laughed after Taylor caught it. Those of you that, you know, are listening on Apple or whatever, can't see this, but like it went like this. It's like it had no spin.
He threw a knuckleball to it.
It's like it had no spin. I know it's harder for you to see, but like that was almost, it was in front of me, but on the other side of the end zone.
And yeah.
It just went like this. Like it was just like a lob and it had no spin at all. I saw the laces. The laces didn't spin.
Well, that's why he doesn't play quarterback.
No, that's right. That's exactly right. But I mean, it was a good, a good play. And, you know, and I think that's kind of one of them option things where Green reverses it to him. And it's like, hey, if you got a route in and you can run it in, great. If not, hit somebody in the end zone. It worked really well. And I really didn't expect it, but I'm, you know.
Brown said he called it earlier in the game with the option of it. And Green ended up, something happened. He opted out of that play, but it was called earlier in the game. Here's one of my main takes from it was you offensively, West Virginia, it was they were stagnant for a while. A lot, you know, Green still hanging in the pocket, then rain delay and everything. But it's like you know how good you could be at your offense. And he's like, Brown says, I wish we'd went to, I've waited a little bit to go into a 2-minute mode or whatever. Why the hell don't you run it the whole time? So, if you know or you can see things, why not wrap it up and go? Just fire on all pistons. And that's what I don't understand.
I can tell you why.
Go ahead.
Because Brown is a conservative play caller. He's not ballsy until his back against the wall. Okay. Think about something. Look at last week at Pitt. We were up 10 points with 3 minutes left. Okay. Before the 3 minutes, we were up what, 5 minutes? We had 10 points. We go into prevent defense. We go into, you know, conservative offensive play calling because when Brown gets up, he wants to ride the lead. He doesn't want to put the foot down. I mean, that's our most hated rival, man. We should have been trying to score until the damn clock ran down. But that's not what he does. But if you get his back against the wall and it's, oh, crap, I've got 3 minutes and we're down 2 scores, we need to score. That's when all this aggressive, you know, intricate, intuitive play calling comes out that we see. So, yeah, it would be nice for him to run that 2-minute drill game the whole game, but he'll never do that because that doesn't fit his personality. He's a conservative play caller until you put him against the wall. So as long as we are hanging in a game, or God forbid it, as long as we're winning a game, he's never going to do that until the 2 minutes left in the game because that's how he is. I don't get it either. I think it's G5 thinking, and we've seen it bite him in the rear end a lot since he's been here.
Yeah.
We've had a lot of games that we've lost in the fourth quarter because of that mindset. And when I was going to go into my thoughts of the game, well, the first thing I want to say is I don't want to toot my own horn here, but I got this one pretty close. I said the defenses were equally bad coming in, and they were going to play equally bad, and it was going to come down to which quarterback played the best, and that's pretty much what affected the game.
You're right.
Yeah, and I agree with you. I don't know what's wrong with Jalen Daniels this year. He is not – well, I think it's the offensive coordinator. I think Penn State stole their offensive coordinator, and the guy they have now just doesn't know how to And I think that's the difference. So you look at the last 3 years, they had that offensive coordinator, and look how they built themselves up. And they were 6-0 last year for the first time since, like, the mid-90s, I think. They get rid of that offensive coordinator, and Jalen Daniels has had 4 games – 146 yards, 154 yards, 148 yards, and then this week against us was 184. He hasn't broken 200 yards this year. And also, in his rushing yesterday was terrible. He had 11 yards, you know? Yeah. My big fear was him coming in and slicing us up with his legs, and he didn't even do that. So I think it's their offensive coordinator, maybe because he got hurt last year. Maybe he's scared of getting hurt. He's trying to protect himself. I don't know, but in my opinion, it was a different Jalen Daniels than the conference has seen the last couple of years. And it makes me kind of think Kansas is kind of reverting back to the Kansas that we've known since we got into the Big 12, which is that basement dweller. And you know, it's kind of sad for them. But the first off for me, you know, the big fake in the third quarter where they tackled Jaheim in the backfield and Green was coming out this way, I fell for it. They got me. They tackled Jaheim and I said, well, damn, that didn't work. And I look up there, goes Green. I was like, oh, damn, it did work. Like it was a good fake. It was a really good fake. And they laid Jaheim out in the backfield. I'm like, oh, and then I realized I was wrong. But for me, it's always good to get a win. But yesterday didn't really move my needle any one way or the other. I'm not looking at the fact that we beat Kansas yesterday. And it really, in my opinion, took a rain delay to do it because I'm kind of in this mind thought of if we don't have that hour and a half rain delay and Neil doesn't have an hour and a half sitting in the locker room to get his thoughts together, does that game still come out the same as it did? Because it was a completely different style of play for Green. And it was a different defense. It was a different everything after the rain delay. And, I mean, we're not going to get an hour and a half rain delay every game to figure crap out.
Well, like you said before we got on here, you know, is it Green trying to be more of a drop-back passer? Or is it the
coaches?
Is it coaches holding back and saying, you need to look through your progressions, you need to do this and that? Whenever Brown – said after the game, I trust him with his legs. I tell him that before we break the huddle, before every series, make something happen. If it's not there, use your legs. Trust your legs. You know, be aggressive with your legs. And Green finally, he took the game over. I mean, I'm not saying he's going to win the Heisman. Far from it. But he absolutely made plays happen. He extended the plays, he extended drives, and whenever we had to score and it's going down, and I said, okay, we know we got the field goal, you know, let's get a touchdown, and, you know, let's get up out of here. There was no doubt in my mind that Green was gonna make something happen. I just felt that in that stadium, right, that we were going to win that game. And
I did not.
Now when we went, now hold on here. When we went down 11, I told people I was sitting with. I said, we're in trouble.
Yeah.
I said, Bake, we are in trouble right now. And I said, and this is going to be awful, awful for you. Drop, you lose this game by double digits. Brown, the seat. I don't know how hot it is. You know, if it's even hot as far as the university goes. But from the fan base level, wow, to go, you know what I'm saying, to you're looking 1-4, 1-3 going into the bye week. I'm like, oh my goodness, this is so bad and on every level.
Yeah. 1-3 going into the bye week and then going into Oklahoma State the week after would not have been a good situation, because let's be honest, that's gonna be a rough game. We'll get to that in a minute, but you're more than likely looking at 1-4 after that. Coming home to Iowa State, who Iowa State's kind of surprising some people. They're playing better than a lot of people thought they're going to. They're winning games that people didn't think they were, you know, didn't think they were going to look that great this year. Mm-hmm. That's another questionable game. And then K-State after that. I mean, you know, we're not going to go through the whole schedule, but the point is we have three games after the bye week coming up that are all three against ranked teams that is going to, in my opinion, pretty much solidify where we're going to finish the rest of the season. Yeah. And that's what we're going to do during the bye week. You know, we're going to look at the schedule, see where we're at and what we think for the rest of the season. I think it's a good thing. We'll kind of look for the bye week one. Mm-hmm. What I learned yesterday is it is better for us to be down 2 scores with 5 minutes left than it is up 2 scores with 5 minutes left. We go to our most hated rival in our school's history, up 10 points with 5 minutes left, and we lose. Crappy Kansas comes to town. They're down this year. We're getting beat basically the whole game except for the first score. And it's like, oh, crap, okay, let's get a comeback now, boys, with 5 minutes left, down 2 scores. So the way I see it is, Neil, if you're listening to this, why don't you just play the game? That way we're not ahead when the fourth quarter starts.
How about
– and then we'll win the game.
how about as soon as kickoff happens, they, no matter who we play, we just put down 14 on the board. Like, make you think. let's just make you think that it's totally a glitch in a system. But you look up and go, oh my goodness, we're down 14. Oh, I got to do something, you know. So little something thrown out there.
Yeah, I think one of the things that We were talking about Green a minute ago. I think one of the things that kind of bother coaches about Green, and Neil says that, like, I tell him I support it, I tell him this and that. You know, these coaches are control freaks, right? You know, these guys have a plan, they have a method, and they are playing this chess game in their head of how they want the game to go. And a lot of the times a player like Green fits outside of the mold of what a lot of these coaches want. But I think when we let him play his style, which is backyard football, which, you know, isn't sustainable in the pros, but it's just fine for college sometimes. You know, we do better. So I don't know. You know, you asked the question a little bit ago, is it the coaches or is it Green? If Neil really is telling him that every game, that's like, hey, make something happen with your feet if you have it. I mean, if that's true, then everybody getting on the coaches, because there's been a lot of that. There's been a lot of flack from fans, and I don't defend Neil Brown very often because after 5 years and a third, I'm done with him. But there's been a lot of people giving Neil a lot of flack, you know, on the airwaves and on the internet boards and everything about quit trying to force him to be something he's not. Well, if what Neil said is true, then it's not Neil trying to force him to be something not. It's him trying to force himself to be something he's not.
Yeah.
And we saw the difference. It was like two different quarterbacks. And the other thing is, I think he throws better. And it's kind of like a duh situation. I mean, when he's running, he's keeping defenses honest. So it allows him to be able to throw better. He threw some bad passes yesterday. He threw some that against a good defense they're going to get picked off or get batted down. But he did make some good throws. And the receivers made some good catches that kept the defense honest. And if he can continue to move with his legs and continue to make just enough of those passes to keep a defense honest to where they can't completely commit to him, then I think that bodes a little well for us, a little better for us on the through the next, you know, the rest of the season this year. But I don't know. Like you said, I don't know what to think anymore. I don't know what to predict. I don't know how to look at anything and say, I think this or I think that, because, you know, before the rain delay or right after the rain delay, when they came in, we went down 11, I thought, oh, here's it. We've got 8 minutes. You know, the defense is going to have to step up. I don't see that happening. The offense is going to have to step up. I don't see that happening. And both of those things happened and we got the win. But you look at it 2 weeks ago at Pitt, I'm thinking, okay, 4 minutes, we're up 10. We got this. Let's just play a little, you know, play a little small ball here and we can do it. And we didn't. I don't know what to say anymore. I don't know what to think anymore. You know, and we're very much amateurs at this, but like maybe we need to hit up some of these professional guys and be like, yeah, hey, how do you guys do it? Because we're like, okay, well, I don't know what to say anymore. But let's put some stuff out there, look ahead to Oklahoma State for a second. You know, they lost yesterday to Utah 22-19. And in my opinion, Utah fans are insufferable. The only fans worse, in my opinion, are SMU fans. That big pony energy, those guys are just, I mean, they're just a headache. But I will give this to Utah. I honestly think that they are going to be in the conference championship. I mean, at right now, I don't see who else in the conference is going to knock them out of it or beat them. I mean, I really believe that right now. I think Oklahoma State, Kansas State, Iowa State are probably the three most likely teams right now because they're all playing well. Everybody else, I think, is below them. But I was kind of surprised yesterday that Alan Bowman, you know, the quarterback for Oklahoma State, he didn't look real great. He only had 206 yards. And he had two picks and two touchdowns, and it's not really great for him considering his first three games were, you know, 245, 326, and 396. Now, that was inferior competition compared to Utah, you know, obviously. But I don't know. How do you feel about going into Stillwater in 2 weeks? You know, we have an extra week, you know, to prep for them. They're playing Kansas State next week. So Kansas State imploded to BYU, I think it was.
That was ugly. That was awful.
Yeah, it wasn't what I expected at all. And then, of course, Oklahoma State. I was 50-50 on who was going to win that game. I just didn't think that – I just thought Oklahoma State would look a little better in that game. So
the score of that game was not that game.
Yeah. Yeah, that's a good way to put it. The score doesn't tell the story.
Oklahoma State, I mean, they got, you know, supposedly the Ollie is their Heisman hopeful running back. He didn't do much. their quarterback didn't do anything. No. And it made it look like, I mean, the game was boring. I mean, I sat here and watched it, and there was nothing. I mean, nothing jumped out at me and said, man, I don't think we have a shot at Oklahoma State. Nothing scared me. Like, I didn't look, you know, watching that game, nothing scared me about Oklahoma State.
Right.
And are they good? They're probably a lot better than what they played yesterday, you know.
Yeah.
But against Utah, that if you truly just sat there and watched the game, you thought Utah should have won that game by 21 points.
Yeah.
You know?
Well, and the thing that really surprised me is – you know, the fact that Oklahoma State lost yesterday has to be pinned on their offense, because their defense played a lot better than Utah's did. They had more tackles, they had more sacks, they had more, you know, pretty much everything. They statistically, looking at the paper, did better than Utah's defense did. So it had to have been an offensive issue. Now, here's the thing, as far as bringing WVU into this, we have them in 2 weeks. And between now and then, Oklahoma State's got Kansas State. Both of those teams lost yesterday. They're going to be looking to get back on track against each other. So, you know, you kind of look at it and you're like, okay, whichever one of them teams might win next week might be the team we're going to have more trouble with.
I think we have trouble with both. But.
Well, I mean, yeah, I'm trying to be positive here, Lanny. I'm trying to be positive, man. I'm trying to be like you. I'm trying to be like, we're still going to win the conference championship, man. We can still do it. You know,
we can.
Mathematically,
I'm not saying size. Get your ring sizes yet, but you know.
I mean, mathematically, that is true. We can do it, and I'll be honest with you. You look at the back end of our schedule, and again, we're going to go over this a little more in detail next week because it's bye week, and we won't have a game. We won't have a game to for sure win next week, right? I mean,
I guarantee you, we will not lose this weekend.
I don't know, man. If we're up in the fourth quarter, we'll probably blow it. I mean, somebody out there that's not really going to be paying attention fully into the episode is like, wait a minute, who do we play next week?
It is a bye week. It's a bye week. We're joking. That's
right. Next week is the first bye week. Now, winning like this and going into the bye week at all with a win is much, much better than a loss, especially with who we have on the other side. So, you know, I kind of think our gauntlet is this middle four games, right? Because we have our two bye weeks, divided our season perfectly into thirds. So we've got the first third out of the way. Our second third, I think, is going to be our gauntlet. We're going Oklahoma State, Iowa State, Kansas State. I think Arizona.
I think you're right.
Is who's after that? And I think
another bye week.
Yes, and then another bye week. I think this second third of the season is our gauntlet for the year, and it's going to be what it really depicts where we're going to finish. Because, you know, after that we've got like UCF, Baylor, Cincy, and one other team that I'm forgetting in there. All of which I want to say are going to be wins. I want to say that, but I can't. But shorten it up a little bit to Oklahoma State. Yeah, I'm going right now as it looks, just kind of on the face. You know, we'll look into it a little more next week for the bye week episode. But I'm thinking 38-21 Oklahoma State. I think Alan Bowman is going to get himself right this week, and we're going to go to Stillwater, and we're going to have a hard time with them there.
I think we just struggle. I thought we were stiff against the run, and Kansas, their offensive coordinator should be fired. Like I said before,
I don't know why he didn't run the ball more,
but he just run the ball. Just run the ball, and you beat West Virginia. That's all they had to do was run the ball. And I have no faith in our pass defense. Now I have less faith in our run defense, and I think we could get blown out, completely blown out at Oklahoma State, or we can mess around and keep it close enough to break our hearts, you know?
Right.
And last year, Ollie ran, I think he just scored another touchdown 2 weeks ago against us. He ran for, what, 300 yards, you know?
The bad part about that, though, and if you remember what we were talking about last year in Morgantown, right? That was we had them beat. We were up two scores in the fourth quarter. And again, it comes down to when we have a lead in the fourth quarter, trying to not play prevent defense, you know, conservative offense. And it bit us against Oklahoma State because he went off for, I think he had 150 yards and three touchdowns in the fourth quarter alone.
Something ridiculous.
Yeah. I mean, I don't know. I'm pretty certain it was three touchdowns. I'm not sure on the yardage. I think it was around 150. And if I'm wrong out there, somebody feel free to correct me. But it's something like that that pretty much gave them that game. And it's like, you know, if we go there, it's going to be a little different this year. I think this year they're going to be looking to get back on track. They're going to be looking at us as something they can automatically put in their win column for style points. I don't know. I just don't have a whole lot of faith in the defense is going to be able to shut them down at home. But
yeah,
that's
what I think. A little bit close. I just believe that nobody's going to really blow us out. I just believe that we're just good enough to hang or win. And I think Oklahoma State wins that game 40-41, and we score a little bit on them. I'm going to say 41-31. I think they win by 10.
All right. Damn, 41? You're giving them 41?
Yeah, I think they're going to score on us.
Okay.
I really do.
That's fair. Well, let's move on to my favorite segment, which is put Lanny on the spot with viewer questions.
Let's go.
This one, we kind of just talked it out, but, you know, we'll touch on it again. We were asked, how does this carry us into Stillwater? For me, I'm you know, still kind of not sure. I don't know what to say anymore. You know, it's like I said, I don't know how to predict anything. We could lose every game on the schedule from here out. We could win a lot of them. We could win most of the games from here out. We have a tough three-game stretch after the bye week. Excuse me. I think it carries us to Stillwater in a positive light. You know, it was things were looking pretty dark yesterday. We come out after the rain delay. We kind of get our heads straight. We do a come from behind victory. We win. It looked good. It felt good. So as far as quote unquote carrying us into Stillwater, it carries us in well and strong with confidence. What happens once we get to Stillwater? Well, that's a little different situation. Carrying us into Stillwater versus carrying us out, or I think could be two very, very different stories. So
I think we needed this break. It gets you healthy. It gives all sides of the ball coaches time to reflect a little bit, break down some film. It gets you a little bit, you know what I'm saying? Practice makes perfect, you know, and you can put guys in different situations a little bit. But the main thing is refreshing. You know what I'm saying? You can step back a week, let the bodies heal, you know, put some extra time into the film room, analyzing what's going on, what worked, what doesn't work. We need to tweak this, tweak that, and it gets you going again. So, yeah. That's what this team needed. Yeah, so
very much so. Yeah, I think it's fair. Our other question was, does yesterday show that we can build and get better, or is this a we are what we are situation and need to be still tested against a team with a pulse? I mean, we were kind of been tested with a team with a pulse in Penn State. Now, it was the first game of the year, so we may not have been at our top performance, you know, but we saw how that test went. I don't know. Pitt kind of had a pulse. I mean, they are better this year. They do have a quarterback that, you know, can actually play football this year. So, you know, against teams with a test, I mean, if you look at the 5-year history of Neil Brown, teams with a pulse, the tests never come out good for us. So I don't really know. I'm going on history here. Well, you know, the historical facts of Neil Brown's career so far. We are what we are is kind of where I land on it. And I hate being like that. I hate being negative like that. But, like, what have you seen in the last 5 seasons and a third that tells you that we can build to be better? Because we don't do it. I mean, we did it last year, but look at who we did it against. And also, Neil got 90 minutes of free time yesterday to get his thoughts together and come up with essentially a new game plan. Now, if we can manage to get a rain delay after the third quarter every game from here out, we'll probably run the table and win the conference championship. but I don't think we're going to get that. You know, I mean, you think about it. He got to play or coach three quarters of the game and then got an hour and a half to look at what didn't work and then change everything to that. So I don't know if he had the win yesterday. I don't know if we would really count it as a true test as far as our conference schedule goes. I think that that's going to come against Oklahoma State. They're going to be 3-1 when we play them. And, well, they're 3-1 now. I'm sorry. I think they're going to be 4-1 when we play them. I think they're going to beat Kansas State next week. So that's going to be our first real test, and we're going to see how that goes. So for right now, I think we are what we are. I don't know that things are going to increase exponentially for us after beating Kansas.
I think you got to let your horses run. I think Neil has to go in and say, okay, this is where we got to go from here. I don't know if we are what we are, but what you have is what you have. And, you know, you need to do some soul searching and say, this guy here does not help me in this situation. I need this person here in this situation now. You know, you should have enough tape and enough practice and enough of knowing the player, what his capabilities are in your program through four games to, you know, put the best player out there in that situation. Right. No player should surprise you now and say, well, I didn't think he could make this play or that play, or I didn't realize personnel wise that he could do this or he can do this.
Right.
You know, so, right. But real quick, Rodney Gallagher didn't play defense. I think either he didn't play defense against Kansas or he was very limited. But they wanted to get him more snaps on offense with Preston Fox being out, you know.
And so, they did.
And it showed he scored his first touchdown as a Mountaineer. Congratulations, Rodney, getting in the end zone, you know. Hudson Clement finally went off. Finally, we all know the capability that it wasn't just a fluke that he caught three touchdowns, and that seems like against Duquesne and got a scholarship. It wasn't just a feel-good story of it, that, you know, this kid can play Division I, you know, wide receiver. And, and he's undersized, and he's always going to be counted out a little bit against him or something. But, you know, Huddy went off, and Neil openly said that I had to tell Hudson, calm yourself down. He was getting frustrated with himself. He was getting mad at, you know, that it was just the competitor in him that he felt like he had to run the perfect route or whatever was going on. And he said, you're a sophomore, go play, stop thinking and go play.
Right.
And that's what he did. I mean, I don't know exact his numbers, but man, it seemed like every time that a wide receivers get up with the ball, it was Hudson Clement.
Yeah.
And that was awesome. And finally, Cole Taylor found the end zone, you know, on the touchdown pass and the 2-point, you know, conversion. But I think they're starting to realize that I got to put the players in winning situations. Wish the hell he'd do it earlier in the game, you know, but it's the fact of the matter. They're going to figure things out. And I've said this for a little bit now, and I feel like I'm rambling, but we got to win our home games. Well, I mean, no one's really expecting you to go out there in Stillwater and win. We have to win our home games, and we got to go on the road and steal one or two, you know?
Well, look at it this way. If we win our home games and only our home games, we're going to go 7-5.
But
I mean, I don't know. That doesn't do much for me, but for some people out there, that's good.
No, I'm not good with that. But my wallet's good with that because I took over 6 wins. But my fandom is, you know, I'm not happy with 7 wins at all. Right. And I still have this at 8 or 9. Regardless, we have to. That's where I had us at. I had us at 8 or 9.
Oh, I thought you said us. I still have
no,
us.
No. Yeah. I have no idea what I have us at right now.
Man, you I was going to be like, God, Lance, man, you got to quit drinking that Kool-Aid, Bubba.
No. But, I mean, God knows. I mean, I don't have a schedule set right in front of me, but I don't even want to analyze that. right now. Yeah. And but it's one of those things where we have to, you got to go on the road, and Oklahoma State gives you that first true Big 12 road opportunity to win on the road.
Right.
You know, and Neil has not been good at that at all. So
it's a ranked team, conference ranked team on the road. There's a lot against them going into it. Well, ladies and gentlemen, that's where we're going to cut it for this week. Next week's a bye week. We'll still put out an episode, but it'll kind of be a somber episode. We're going to look around the conference and maybe the college football world. We're going to come up with some stuff that we like and haven't liked that's happened, and take a look at our schedule. We decided that since the schedule is evenly divided into thirds, we're going to take the bye weeks as checkups on the team. Take a panic meter reading, see where we are or where we think we're going to go. We appreciate all you guys listening and liking. Spread the word. We're on Apple now. A lot of people were, DMing me, PMing, whatever the kids call it these days on X, saying, hey, can you guys get on Apple? That's where all my podcasts are. So I did it. Got us there. Anybody that's wondering, somebody did ask me where we tailgate at. In the blue lot where the pedestrian bridge is that connects the light blue lot and the blue lot. When the team does the man walk, they walk under this bridge. If you come to that bridge and you're facing a hospital in line with the bridge and you face yourself at about 1 o'clock, 2 o'clock, you're going to see a couple RVs, a little trailer, and a blue snow fence. Our tailgate is inside that blue snow fence.
Yep.
Hit us up on Twitter on game day. If y'all want to come have a beer with us and talk football or talk shit, or if you just want to come and say,
hang out.
I mean, listen, man, if you want to show up and say, hey, you guys freaking suck, give me a beer. Okay. Well, whatever. We'll give you the beer and you can just get on your way. But we appreciate all you guys that listen and everything. And everybody have a good week.
All right, everybody. Just, like you said, just hit us up. Give us a shout. Don't hesitate to comment on this. We want comments, whether good, bad, ugly, short ones, long ones. You know, we like comments, and you will get our direct input on it. But if anything else, have a great week. Thank you for listening. Hope we kept you entertained from ear to ear. Let's go.